God is at work, young people, and you're in the midst of it. You're part of it. Last night I stood before about 350 students at Baylor University, feeling just like I do right now. But God somehow felt a need to anoint even me, his servant, in those moments and really bless the outcome. I was overwhelmed. I spoke for about 30 minutes, and about 100 students walked up to me afterwards and said, "We've got to go to the Northwest." And I had just told them I didn't want them to come unless they were equipped. And I say the same thing to you tonight. It was amazing to me as I stood before or just walked on the campus of 8,000 students, and all of them or most of them Baptists. Can you imagine? That's overwhelming too. And then to have about 300 of those 8,000 sit out in front of me last night, some of them even weeping because they had never heard the needs that I was talking about existing in the continental United States. They were overwhelmed. I had over half of the people that stood around me on the stage after it was all over saying that they'd never been out of the state of Texas and they didn't care to go now because they were scared to death. One girl said, "I'm leading my first Bible study. 8 of the people in my Bible study are Christians. What do I tell 8 girls who know Jesus Christ and have known him for so many years about the claims of Christ, what he wants for their lives, what he wants to do in their lives and reaching the world?" She says, "I'm scared to death, and you talk about leading Bible studies where the majority of people don't even know Jesus. I've got a lot of room to grow, don't I?" I'm grateful tonight to have the support of people who have a daughter with me in the Northwest, Mr. and Mrs. Bob or Robert Jarbo, and Mrs. Lionel Maru, who is a very good friend of the woman in whose home I was privileged to live the time that I lived in Norman. That's great support to have these people here. It's great to have adult-type people in these meetings to help them to realize what God is doing and raising up men and women who are going to be taking their places in days to come, in homes, in churches, in this community. Some of you are going to be at the ends of the earth someday. I hope that you're going to be equipped. Let me tell you about some people tonight that are much like you, that are praying for you tonight, and some of the results of our time together. But first, let's pray and settle our hearts once again after this very beautiful song and 2 good testimonies, that God would bring us totally here in these moments and that we might listen to something that he might want to speak to us. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much that we can know you through your Son, Jesus. And with the enabling of your Spirit, we might know intimately and intrinsically, God, what is our responsibility in bringing redemption to all mankind. God, help us to realize that these years are formative years. They're beginning years. That this Baptist student ministry at the University of Oklahoma in Norman is but a launching pad from which these people and people who come after them might be able to go to the ends of the earth literally, claiming your name, allowing others to choose you as Savior and Lord. God, may we recognize in fresh ways this night just how good that love is and how very responsive we need to be. Forgive us in our slothfulness, in our lack of interest, and redeem us to fresh thinking this night. For it is in your name we pray. Amen. I was told you might appreciate knowing a little bit about what's going on in the Northwest. Since I was here last, I guess there are some new faces in front of me tonight. Let me tell you a little bit about the University of Washington. I was getting ready to say the University of Oklahoma. That's in Seattle. There's almost 1 million people in Seattle, Washington. And most importantly to me, there are about 35,000 plus students at the University of Washington. We have several community colleges in the outlying areas. We have Seattle University, which is a large Catholic school. We have a Free Methodist school and a lot of others. And God somehow has chosen me, taken me out of a warm cocoon, a place where I loved and felt somewhat used, and said, "Margaret, I want to show you how I really do work. If I can just have a small bit of your faith in me, and if you will be faithful and be obedient to what you know now, I will stretch you to understand or ascertain just what I could do using even you, your eye, your ear, most importantly, your heart." I heard right before I came to the Midwest, South, as people in the Northwest call us, Oklahoma, Texas, from a fellow by the name of Joe Vasquez. Joe is a Mexican. He graduated from the University of Washington about 5 years ago. He felt like God had called him into the pulpit ministry and felt the leadership of the Lord to go to Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary in California. Upon graduating, he felt a deep sense of the call of God to go overseas. He applied through Southern Baptist Foreign Mission Board to go overseas and was appointed to Spain. I got a letter from him just the other day. I have been writing Joe once a week for about 5 years. I feel like they're, especially in a new work area, this is one way to hang on, so to speak, to your own. And Joe asked me to be faithful. And so, as I've endeavored to do, he's faithful. And he writes back the most challenging, penetrating letters and really wakes me up and helps me to just reacquaint my vow with the Lord every day that He has and can mean business with my life, that He has control of my life one day at a time as I allow Him to use it, to mold it like He desires. Joe said, "Margaret, I'm grateful to God that you didn't give up on me when I was at the University of Washington." He says, "I'm pastoring a church, and I have my first convert to be a disciple." He says, "This man is about 15 years older than I am. He is a man with 5 children. He just became a Christian about 2 months ago, and I want you to know that I'm spending an hour a week, sometimes more, and we're sitting down and we're looking at the Word. The man doesn't know Genesis from Revelation. He doesn't know where to find anything, but he's hungry. And he said, I want you to pray. I count on your prayer. I've got to have it. Will you pray?" It's exciting to know that even in Spain, young people, that God is discipling men and women. And it's a challenge to me to think that God would take me thousands of miles away to touch the life of a man named Joe Vasquez so that he could go to Spain and touch a life of a man who needed to know Jesus, and that Joe was equipped, that he could tell this man how to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and now that he's beginning to give that man the equipment, the desire to love and respond to Jesus Christ as Lord. Let me tell you about a young man named Dan Morgan. Dan graduated from the University of Washington some years ago and felt even in those days, "Margaret, I want to go to the seminary someday. I'm very desirous to teach on a seminary level. Do you think I can do it?" Dan was also the young man that so often would say to me, "Margaret, is there any way that I can be assured that 5 years from now I'm still going to be in the race?" If he said that once to me, he said it 100 times at least. And I said, "No, there's no guarantee." His face dropped, but I said, "There's hope, one day at a time. If you vow every day before you retire in that evening that tomorrow you and God are going to spend some time together, 5 years will unfold, and you will be that man, that continuing person that God can use and will desire to use. But the choice is yours every day." And he thanked me, Ghibli, you know, and went on. But today, this young man, after 2 years of working in Virginia, using his major from the University of Washington as physics, I saw him at Fort Worth last weekend. He's now a freshman at Southwestern. He's getting there. He's going on. And as we shook hands, with tears in his eyes, he said, "Margaret, I'm beginning the road. Some years back, I told you that I wanted to go to the seminary, and I wanted to be a disciple maker, and I wanted to do it in the context of a seminary setting. Now, he said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it, but here I am. And he renewed again his vow of the Lord by publicly saying to me, again, I'm glad you came to the Northwest. Now, I do not intend at all to exalt myself, because these are the places, this is where you are. Wherever you are, the training that you're getting here, the knowledge plus the wisdom that you're gaining, get it good, young people. Because one of these days, wherever God puts you down, after he picks you up and moves you from this hollow ground, this foul ground, he's going to take you literally. And the people that you're working now with to the ends of the earth, I hope you're prepared. Let me tell you about Felix Sorgwe. He's from Nigeria, and he's been a part of our work for about 2 years. Felix said about 2 months ago, Margaret, I understand that you're taking a group of students overseas next summer. Well, we want to. He said, I want to go. Do you think that if you go to Taiwan or to the Philippines or Hong Kong or Indonesia that they'd take a black-faced man, somebody from Nigeria? And I said, I bet they would. He says, I want to go. He says, count on me being a part of the team that goes. He's willing to raise his $1,500 necessary support. He says, if I have to write back home and get some of the Southern Baptist missionaries that came to my land and the people who have followed them since their coming and going, if they won't help me, my parents will, and people right here. He's got a Bible study with 15 young men in his Bible study, most of whom are not even Christians yet. It's marvelous what this young man is doing on our campus. We had an international student retreat right before Thanksgiving this fall, and Felix asked me if he could speak. Now, he says, I promise, Margaret, that I'll just speak for 5 minutes. I said, how about 4? Because I had heard him before, and when he says 10, it's more like an hour and 10 minutes. And so I, just to test him, I said, can you keep it to 4? And he said, oh, I'll do better than that. He said, if I can't get it out in 3, I'm sure I can't get it out in 5 or 10 or an hour and 10. I said, all right, Felix, I'd love for you to share about what Jesus means to you. So as we had a progressive dinner party and visited several churches in the area, and as the international students shared with us their talent along the way, Felix stood up at the last church, and again, young people, with tears in his eyes, he stood before some 65 international students and about 20 United States students, and he told these people why Jesus Christ was not just for the white man, that Christianity was not just a white man's religion. And he asked them to consider. He says, some of you are not openly rejecting Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, but many of you have never had told to you in a clear way how to know Jesus in a personal way. I, for one, and Margaret and others around here, he said, would gladly share with you before you leave tonight. I mean, he came down right down to an invitation time almost, weeping all the time. And he went over, it was about 6 minutes worth, but it was powerful. And there wasn't a dry eye in the crowd of the American students, because none of us could have done that. Not near like he did it. Because they really could relate. They really understood from where he had been, what he had gone through, and the arrival at this point in time in his walk with the Lord. That night when we got on the bus to go back to the student center to take the students back, many of them working on their PhDs and having been at the University of Washington for a long time, some of them quite a bit older than just the average student, 18 through 25. Many of them were in their late 30s. And some of them, even with a glassy eye, asked many of us, and I have this verified from other students besides myself, that many of them said, would you talk to us? Could we investigate more? Would there be a study? How can we find out? We've never heard anything quite as clear as Felix presented it. I said, sure. It was amazing what happened with the help of Felix, most importantly, in the next couple of weeks, how international students for the first time came in the Baptist Student Center and began to ask questions. We saw 3 come to know the Lord as a result of Felix's testimony that night. And now some of them are coming to our Friday night fellowships. More importantly, they're beginning to grow in the Word, even not grow in the Word, but at least getting a knowledge and a grasp of who Jesus is by studying the Scriptures under Felix. Some of them from other lands besides Nigeria, other places besides the black man world. It truly is exciting what God is doing. Yesterday morning, my associate called me in Fort Worth. at Baylor in Waco. And he said, Margaret, a group of students, some 36, met this morning in prayer at 6 for you, for your meeting tonight and tomorrow night. And we decided we have the message that we want you to share with those people. Will you tell them that still the Northwest is on our hearts as Northwesterners? We can't get it done without people coming up to help us. But Margaret, we've all agreed. Don't just come and plan to say 2 years or three. Plan to come and plant your life regardless. And it was so funny, as my voice cracked then as it is now. I was in the Northwest for 2 years until I finally said to the Lord on my knees, God, whether you bless by bringing the fruit of men and women into my life, into the ministry of this work, I still stay in the Northwest. I want to prove to you faithful. I will stay close to you by reading, studying, memorizing, and meditating upon your word. And God, I stay here until I die, if need be, to see hundreds and thousands of college-age young people raised up to reach the hundreds and millions of people in the Northwest who do not know Jesus Christ in a personal way. It will be done by the African who has come to the University of Washington. It will be done by the Joe Vasquez's who's now in Spain, because they will find young men and women who will come to the University of Washington and who will get training on purpose and who will go back to their native land, because I am confident that what God has started, He will complete in the end. I'm grateful to be a part of what God is doing. Next month, March 3 through 5, we're going to have Josh McDowell on our campus. The Navigators and InterVarsity and Campus Crusade and the Baptist Student Ministries decided about a year ago, the leadership, that this needed to be our year of Jubilee. This was my 7th year on that campus, and I wanted to see God break open wide what He had wanted to do for so many years, not only through Southern Baptists, but through Christian people who call themselves Christian. We got together and began to pray, and this fall we got hold of Josh McDowell on the phone. He said, yes, I'll come. He had been there 4 years ago, and they had had a packed house, well, as packed as they could. They had 800 students in a room. This year, for those 3 nights, we have procured the Heck Edmondson Pavilion that will hold some 9,000-plus college students, anybody, 9,000 people. We're asking God to pack that place. We know God's going to do that because the Lord wants to see people come to Himself and acknowledge Him as Savior and Lord. Billy Graham is going to be in Seattle in May, and he has said that he will be on our campus a Tuesday afternoon. He will be coming to us May 9 through 15. Now, young people, listen to me. These things will just be meetings and conferences and retreats like you and I go to all the time, unless we're willing to humble ourselves, get on our knees, and pray that the outpouring of His Spirit will infect the Christian people and that they get right with God so He can work. When there's sin and unholiness in our lives, God is prohibited. And we're seeing that happen. So pray for the Christian. The Christians that are in IV, that are in Campus Crusade, that are in Navigators, that are part of Baptist Student Ministries, pray that God would draw us to Himself and make His will crystal clear, that we become a holy people, so that He, if He decides to bless, we might see Him bless. We had a rally last Friday night. I left Saturday. We had a rally of 100 students. That's not very many, but 100 students from these four campus groups come into our student center and pray and asking God to forgive them of past, present, and future sin and to make their lives worthy of an outpouring of His blessing on that campus, because He wants people to come to know Him. And He will bless a group of people, but only a group of people who will humble themselves and ask God's necessary forgiveness before He will bless. This is our year of Jubilee. We have seen more people come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord this school year than ever before, at least as long as I've been in the Northwest. And the only reason for this, is because there are a few, too few, but a few dedicated, committed young people who are paying the price to walk with God daily through His Word, acknowledging His presence and power and sovereign will in their lives, such that when they reach out on the campus through the classes, in their dating experiences, in the church experience, wherever they are touching life for Christ. And we are seeing results of lives wholly dedicated to Himself. But pray for us. there must be a mighty group of people in size, in a group of people this size. There must be a half a dozen, 30 people, 20 people who are right in their relationship with God, such that if they would pray for such a thing like this, that God would bless. We need you. We need your prayers at this time, but we also need that you get your lives ready, for the call might be coming to you as it did to me. Go and bear fruit. Go and bear fruit. Lo, I will be with you always, even into the end. The promise found in 2 Chronicles 16:9, you know so well. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world, to show His might in behalf of all those whose hearts are blameless toward Him." Is your heart blameless such that you could pray for the results of Josh McDowell coming to our campus, for Billy Graham coming to the greater Seattle area and touching our campus? I would appeal to you tonight, young person. Know your God intimately before you rest. We need your prayers. We need your life. We need your song. We hear that, but it's distant so often. I told those young people last night at Baylor in our close, we need your committed life. We need your holy life. We need your dedicated life, given unreservedly for the cause of Christ. Someday you might come to the Northwest and last 2 years or less. Many of our pastors and student workers of past have come and gone. They've gotten disillusioned. When God didn't seem to be working after 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years, they left and came back to the South. And people were left untouched, burdened, not knowing why they were, but appealing for help. 1 million people in Seattle. Get prepared, young person. You're sitting in a place that my people would give some of them a right arm to come here and sit and stand by you and hear you sing like this and hear you pray and be a part of your Bible studies. Our group is so small compared to this. But I tell you, it won't be for long, because I believe in a God, in an almighty God that wants to raise up people, peculiar people for Himself. And I'm willing to give my life, my total life, to sing hundreds and thousands of young people reaching the Northwest and the ends of the earth for Jesus Christ. If it's going to take my life, I want to be there. I want to be there at the end when the Lord and I get together for the first time and I'm able to look around and the majority of the people that I see will be Northwesterners, but not only the first generation, but a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth. 3 weeks ago, and I close, I said that a moment ago, didn't I? 3 weeks ago, we had a retreat in Spokane, Washington. I didn't go. I don't have to go anymore because we've got students who lead these youth-led retreats. Spokane is another area that's just about ready to explode. The churches over there are strong churches. And the reason that I can say that is because their pastors have been there more than 2 years. And they're strong. A lot of them are filled with Southerners. That's all right, too. But a great many more of them are filled in that area with Northwesterners, people who were born and raised in that area. We sent third and fourth generation students from our ministry over to Spokane to lead a retreat. One weekend, it was a junior high retreat. They had 150 students. The next weekend, they had about 173, if my count is right. That could be ministerially speaking, but I believe it was in that number. And that was a senior high retreat. We took 8 college students one weekend and sent 8 the next. There was 25 people that became a Christian the first weekend. This thrilled and excited the people who went over there. Randy Earle, who plays football at the University of Washington, that Fred Luke is beginning to work with, came back and said, "Margaret, I've never spoken before a group. They asked me to give my testimony and told me to give it in 3 minutes. Because we were going to teach the young people how to give their testimony in 3. He says, "I spoke for 25. He said, "Do you suppose the Lord anointed my tongue?" I says, "I don't know. I'm going to ask somebody who heard the testimony first." But I did find out, even amid some of the ramblings, that he did get to the point. And it was after his testimony that at least 3 people that Randy said became Christians because they heard for the first time in a clear way how they could invite Jesus Christ to come in and be Savior and Lord of their life. He said, "Margaret," with tears in his eyes, "people, do you cry very much? You need to get your heart broken. I was never really a weeper until I moved into a heathen land, so to speak. And now I cry all the time. I'm ecstatic about what God's doing. And in the next breath, I weep because the sin is so rampant and so visible. And only God, of course, can meet that need. But it was amazing to me to see these second and third and fourth generation young people go over there and see the same results, probably better results than if I had gone. It was phenomenal. And they came back, and Randy said to me, "Now, Margaret, I've got to get a man. I understand now what you're talking about." He says, "I've got something to share. If I don't share anything in the world but teach another fellow that he can win somebody to the Lord." I did it. God did it. He anointed my mouth. He freed me to really share what Jesus Christ means. Young people, I encourage you tonight to get on your knees. Get right and clear your relationship with Jesus Christ. Understand whose you are and what you are becoming by His grace and power. And then pray for us. We need your prayer. I am a believer in prayer. We're cutting back next week with our young people and saying it is too easy to get up at 6 a.m. and to pray. We are going to start meeting at 5. They looked at us kind of funny a couple of weeks ago. 5? Can't we pray just as easy at 6? Yes, but it's coming too easy. Our group is getting too big. We're going to start really asking God for some things, so we're going to cut back and start meeting at 5. All of you can come. So pray with us that the 35 will come back and bring at least 3 or 4 more. God wants to do this. He wants to reach the native Northwesterner for himself. But we can't do it unless there are faithful people like yourself who will humble themselves and ask God to bless. Thank you.